Welcome back to another episode of the Pax What She Said podcast. I'm one of your co-hosts, Maggie Loney, joined as always by Perry Goldstein and another unfamiliar opponent this week. We joked pre-show that we had nothing to say about the Jaguars because it's so rare that the Packers play the Jaguars, especially going down to Jacksonville, doing that this weekend. It'll wrap up their fourth and final contest with the AFC South. They are currently 3-0. Against AFC South team. So hoping to wrap that one up on Sunday with a win. Perry, I don't fully know where to start with this one because the Jaguars defense is really bad. So I guess that's where we start.
Yeah, really bad. We were going through some stats before we started recording, and I feel as though the Packers should be able to pick this team apart, if you will. We were saying they have one interception all season. They are allowing almost 28 points a game for their opponents. So I feel like for the Packers, who are starting to really turn on the jets, if you will, in their offense, like this should be a 30-plus game. They are just not efficient. They're bottom of the league in pretty much every important metric. And the Packers, I think, are on the up in the just trajectory wise in the total opposite way. I don't know if Tyson Campbell is back or not at this point. I think this actually might be his, if not his first game, his second game back. But aside from him, there's not really too many guys that you have to game plan for. They signed Arik Armstead. But he has not really looked like, you know, the guy that we are most familiar with who played for the 49ers. And Trevon Walker has not looked like the pick that they chose, or we all thought that he would be when they chose him in the first round. So this is not a formidable defense and one that the Packers should move the ball pretty easily on.
Yeah, I mean, we looked at it like Walker's got six sacks, but then if you talk about the defense forcing turnovers, they've had three forced turnovers the entirety of the season, and they have one interception, which seems kind of crazy, but then I kind of think of the Packers defense last year where they didn't have a ton of interceptions. So yeah, one pick this way, or at this point in the season, and it was Andre Sisco, their safety. Four passes defensed for him. He also Ronald Darby leads the team with five, but he has four. So just not a ton of opportunities here for this Jaguars secondary to get after the football. Worth noting, of course, that they'll see familiar face Darnell Savage, who's with Jacksonville now on the offensive side of the ball. I know Josiah DeGuara is there as well. But yeah, this is a team that the Packers should very easily move the ball against. Mm-hmm. And if they don't, I think it's almost a concern. Right, yeah. 32nd in the league in touchdowns. They've given up 16 passing touchdowns, 30th in net yards per attempt. Better kind of against the run, like average in the league in run defense, but 30th in points against, 32nd in red zone defense, 26th in third down conversions. So I think this is a game where the Packers, I would expect them to be able to score explosively, but I think you just kind of, you know, keep possession and burn the clock and get the heck out of there with all your players safe and healthy.
Yeah. I did see today that the majority of Darnell Savage's snaps have been in the slot versus free safety. So he's playing a little bit of a different role than we saw when he was in a Packers uniform, which I actually kind of love for him. I always thought that was more of where he thrived when he was playing close to the line of scrimmage, but I don't think that it's by any means like world beating still. And their best player, Foye, is on IR right now at linebacker. So to your point, I really think the Packers can come out and really just play their brand of football, play complementary offense, run it how they like. I even though, quote unquote, their rush defense is maybe the better of the two things that the Jacksonville Jaguars are doing, I still think you can run Josh Jacobs how you'd like and spread the ball around to your weapons. I don't think there's really any like magic trick here, on paper at least. You know, any given Sunday, anything can happen, but expectations wise, like the Packers are the better football team from all aspects going into this matchup. And I think this is a game, to be honest with you, where they need to show up like it, like they need to show up and be dominant. Not like last week where we knew this could swing a few different ways against the Texans. Like maybe it would be a shootout. Not surprising that the lead got changed multiple times. Like this is a game where the Packers should come out. They should take command of this game. They should score early. They should score often, and they should never really trail at any point in this game.
Yeah. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because that's kind of what I wanted to say was my expectation for this offense was if they can play mistake-free football, and that includes special teams, I'm sure we'll get there. Like they are really only losing if they beat themselves at this point. And against a team like the Texans, that's a concern, right? We saw it. The Texans, you know, had opportunities to hang around. You expect that from CJ Stroud and the weapons that they have on offense. So of course there are weapons on this Jacksonville offense as well, but it just feels like the Packers are in a different league right now when it comes to the caliber of play that we've seen from both teams through the first seven games of the season. Obviously the Jags are 2-5 for a reason. They did have some nice games. Their two wins, really high scoring games against the Colts and the Patriots, but again, questioning maybe the caliber of opponent there. So I think the Packers really just, you know, protect the football, don't give them short fields to take advantage of. And if you make them work for it, the points are going to be hard to come by for Jacksonville. And I think the Packers really just need to take command of this football game, and they're fully capable of doing that.
Fully capable. Again, this should be a game where everybody gets involved. Everyone plays their part. We should see. I would not be surprised if at the end of this game, when we go and do our recap show, that there are 9 guys who caught passes from Jordan Love in this game, right? Everyone should get a piece of the pie in this one. And it's no shade to Jacksonville, quite frankly. They just don't have the guys on the opposite side of the ball to really stop the Packers offense. They have, like I said, one corner who's back. He follows Jaden Reed. There's Dontayvion Wicks. There's Christian Watson. There's Tucker Kraft. There's the running backs. There's, you know, whomever else, Bo Melton, that Jordan can get the ball to. So this should not be one of those days where Matt LaFleur has to get too cute or too tricky. Like, he really just needs to run his brand of football. Like, I don't want to see no end arounds or jet sweeps on third and one. No. Yeah, like, we don't need to do that in this game. We do not need to play cute. We just need to play smart.
Yeah, and I think there's also the element of, you know, not saying that it's going to be like 1,000 degrees in Jacksonville like it would be if you went down there in an early September game, but the Packers know that when they get back from Florida, they're hosting the Lions. Like, that's a huge matchup coming for this Packers team at 3:25 the following Sunday. So not that you ever look ahead against an opponent, but if they can just get out of this one unscathed, like play clean football, kind of set the tone, get a win, you know, kind of carry this momentum with you into a really, really tough division matchup. That's what they need to do here. Like you said, you don't need to like dive too deep into the bag of tricks at this point. Just play clean football, leave Jacksonville healthy with a win, and then get ready for arguably the toughest game of the season so far.
100% agree. I do think you mentioned that this is their fourth AFC South team. I do think it's interesting that they are going into their fourth, like, random division opponent when they have only played one of their own divisional matchups so far. It's very interesting that stretch of the season where, looking at the way the NFC North does, not to get too ahead of ourselves, you know, because we'll talk about the Lions when it comes. But those games are really going to start to matter the most given how tight that NFC North race is. So stacking as many wins as you can, and I'm sure the Lions, the Vikings, and the Bears are thinking the same thing, because once they get to each other, because they still have two against the Bears, two against the Lions, and one more against the Vikings, those are really going to be where they start to separate themselves.
Yeah, so let's shift then and talk about this Packers defense against this Jacksonville offense. Obviously, we talked about Trevor Lawrence a little bit. He is the focal point of this Jaguars offense. Obviously, former first round pick, just got paid same amount Jordan Love did. You know, made big money to stay their franchise quarterback of the future. They have a really, really fantastic run game, but we're not sure that Etienne's going to be able to play this week. If he doesn't go, Tank Bigsby is still a formidable threat in the run game, but the Packers have been playing pretty well against the run. To me, this one comes down to Brian Thomas. You know, like you just kind of circle him. Jair travels with him, and I think that's how you lock it down.
I agree with you. Again, you got one guy you have to game plan for. That's about it. I can't believe I'm saying this. However, I'm feeling confident in the game planning that's going into each game thus far in Jeff Hafley, especially after this past week watching them just like shut down the Texans. So I feel like with the weapons they have on the defensive side of the ball, that they could do it against this Jacksonville offense. Jacksonville is only averaging about 20 points per game, and the Packers are allowing way, way less than that right now, especially in the second half. They're pretty much allowing like less than a touchdown at this point. So this should be, another game where the Packers defense comes out. Potentially, they don't even need to get a turnover if they don't want to, because we saw that they didn't need it. But Jacksonville has a -4 turnover differential, so they will cough off the ball if you just like poke it a little bit. So this could be a game where, I should say, this will be a game where I expect the Packers to get a turnover or so, especially because if there's only one weapon and they have one of the better corners going up against him in the league, you're going to have to force Trevor Lawrence to try to get it to anybody else. Let's not make this like a big Gabe Davis day if we can help it either. But if you clamp down on them the way that this defense can, you can force some errors from Trevor Lawrence and the rest of this offense, whether it be interceptions or fumbles lost. They have a few fumbles lost this season too.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you mentioned it a little bit already, but like the second half, what we've seen from Jeff Hafley and his ability to make adjustments has been so promising and so impressive compared to, you know, what we're used to seeing as Packer fans, where games are getting really close and, you know, Packers were losing them at the very end because the defense couldn't hold. You know, we're going back 5 weeks at this point where they've given up a touchdown or less. The last 2 weeks, it was 3 points. That's it. In the second half, one field goal. And that's how you win football games. And that's what you expect from a coordinator who's able to make adjustments and put his players in positions to be successful. So I think that is, you know, really important moving forward as well. And I liked the creativity that we saw, right? Mm-hmm. All the different stunts. All of those clips obviously were circulating Twitter after the Texans game, brought a ton of pressure on CJ Stroud, got home 4 times for sacks. So those numbers are improving as well, both sack and pressure totals. And I think the Packers will have the opportunity to do that again against Trevor Lawrence and just really make him uncomfortable. He has taken 15 sacks already this season, thrown 3 picks, has 9 touchdowns. So there will be opportunities to just kind of get him rattled and kind of shake up that offense.
And he's been sacked 17 times. 17 times. So you can get to him. Mm-hmm. If this pass rush plays the way they did last week against the Texans, like, you can get to him and end drives, or at least back them up. This team is known to not protect their quarterback well.
And I think, you know, not to flip back to the offense, but what's been so impressive about this Jeff Hafley defense, it's not like the Packers, you know, started hot in some of these games. We saw how they played against the Vikings. We had questions about how they were playing against the Rams. They had to be a second half offense. So the fact that the defense is still able to clamp down and keep the Packers in the game while the offense finds their footing, the fact that now the offense is able to find their footing from the jump, you know, and sustain drives in the first and second quarter, score points, the Packers defense has the luxury of kind of playing with a lead and not necessarily having to make adjustments. And they're still shutting down teams in what you might even, you know, consider garbage time. You know, so I think that's what's been really impressive as well, is that this defense isn't just keeping the offense in games. They're letting the offense get comfortable and get a lead, and they're still doing everything possible to just completely, you know, blow up plays and make things really difficult for opposing teams to try and get back into football games.
Yeah, and that's huge. It's huge. So I don't have much more to say about this game. I think the Packers are just genuinely, by any important metric, the better team. They've been playing like the better team, and they should go in and dominate this game. If I was a betting woman, this is not a betting show, and I am not a betting woman, I would expect this to be a two-score win.
I agree. I was going to ask you a score prediction. I am going in the realm of 38-17.
Yeah, I was going 35-17. But quite frankly, it also wouldn't surprise me if this Packers defense playing like they did, no turnovers, right? Not putting Jacksonville in good field position. I mean, they could score. If they only scored 10, I wouldn't be surprised either. So, but we'll give them a generous 35-17.
Yeah, and I mean, they've done it, right? They lost to the Bills. It was 47-10. They lost to the Browns 18-13. So they aren't putting up, like, the loss to the Bears 35-16. So just scoring in the teens is entirely possible for them. Yeah, I guess, you know, the things I want to see from this as far as, like, final thoughts go, again, clean football. Mm-hmm. Really have to clean up special teams. I would like to see Brandon McManus honestly get more opportunities because we just haven't seen a ton out of him. And obviously he hit the game winner. Sets a good tone, a good precedent moving forward for expectations out of the special teams unit. But as of right now, there's no long snapper on the team. They released Matt Orzich. Not sure. You know, it sounds like he's the one coming back, but it was also a really low snap. And Daniel Whelan, who is just a weapon in his own right, was able to hold that correctly so McManus could score. But clearly some things that they still need to work on. Not sure there is a punt returner on the roster. Probably still Keyshawn Nixon, but you kind of live or die by him in moments. Yeah. So we'll see. But if the Packers can just clean up some of those little things, they're really on their way to being like a top five NFL team this season.
Yeah. A few things to say, because you made a bunch of really great points there. One, Daniel Whelan, MVP, most valuable punter. they are top 10 right now, the Packers, in offense, and I think 10th in defense. Mm-hmm. So we may, as fans, be on the edge of our seats at times. They are playing like a formidable team. Yes. But part of being a dominant team is beating down on teams that are worse than you, on teams that you know are not making the playoffs, going in and getting, you know, like you said, those kind of momentum wins. You can't overlook teams, and they should not do that in this. And I know that they won't. That's not the kind of mentality that this team has, or that Matt LaFleur likes to like instill in his guys. But a big dominant win would go a long way. My last and final thought is I would really just like to see a game where Jordan doesn't throw a pick.
I was going to say that.
And again, if it's a guy slips, you know, and not his fault pick, so be it. But I'd really, when you say a clean game, I think I'm really looking at Jordan. I'm not as, you know, obsessive around the interceptions as some. Pat Mahomes is throwing a ton of interceptions this season too. I think he's tied with Jordan right now. So I think everyone needs to calm down a little bit. But for Jordan's sake, I think it would, his confidence and, you know, not putting Jacksonville in good field position and putting strain on your defense, et cetera. Let's just go and have a clean game. Let's get that stat line where we know it should be, which is lots of touchdowns, zero interceptions.
Yeah, and I just wanted to touch on this really quickly, too, as we wrap up, because it has made the rounds repeatedly this week about the Jordan Love, Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, all of the comparisons to Hall of Fame quarterbacks. And I know a lot of people say that he's Brett Favre-esque and like it's a bad thing. And I guess to me, when I think of comparing someone to Brett Favre, like Brett Favre was so exceptionally fun to watch play football. But you knew like once a game, he was just going to like give you an opportunity. And if Jordan Love is exceptionally fun to watch play football, he can make all of the throws on the field. And if his like Achilles heel is that once a game he throws you a ball, like I can live with that. Do you know what I mean? Like, and I think that's kind of where the comparison ends for me is like,
yeah,
and I do believe that he can also clean that up. I don't think Brett Favre was ever going to clean that up, even if you coached it out of him. Like, that was who he was as a player. And I appreciate Jordan Love for it, but I also, like, I have zero concerns. He can lead the league in interceptions this season and might, and I still don't think that, you know, the Packers made a wrong decision or he's not the guy. Like, I think that's just kind of part of his game. And as long as he's winning football games, which they are, it is what it is.
I liked his explanation. Like, when he was asked about it, his response was just, well, he always is so poised and in control. But his response was perfect. He was like, I am always looking to make plays. Mm-hmm. And I think that I make more good plays than I do with these balls. And if I continue to do that, then that's really all that matters. And I think it's true. It's almost similar to the explanation that we have for this new, more aggressive defense, right? You are going to come up with the ball more, right? We've already seen it, more interceptions, more turnovers, but occasionally you're going to give up an explosive play and that sucks, right? I think we kind of have to think about Jordan Love's interceptions in this way too. You are going to get some incredible throws, some one of one plays that very few other quarterbacks, if any other quarterbacks in the league, can make. He takes risks, and that's where those plays happen. Occasionally, in those risks comes a turnover. So without the risk, you don't get the big, beautiful play, but you also get an occasional turnover. And sure, maybe you want him to be slightly more risk averse to clamp down on those interceptions. But I, for one, think we get more of the good, like he was saying when he was asked about this, than we do the bad. And we're seeing it. They're winning games. He's throwing more touchdowns. We're seeing more explosive plays. So like you said, I can live with it as well. And if that's his mindset isn't like, YOLO. I think Brett Favre's a little bit was someone's down there. I'm just going to chuck it. That's not his mindset. His mindset is I see big play potential and I trust my arm to go and make it. Okay. Same.
Yeah. Really well said. And I think that's a perfect place to wrap it up. Packers at Jacksonville on Sunday. Should be a really fun game for Packers fans. We'll be back on Sunday evening to talk about hopefully a win and then get into previewing, well, I guess technically back-to-back NFC North opponents, but there is a bye week in between. So the Packers really close to getting some rest before a really, really tough second half of the season. But thank you as always for listening to the show. You can find the podcast on Twitter at PWSS Podcast, Perry at Perry underscore Goldstein, me at Maggie J. Loney. If you're watching on YouTube, please like and subscribe to the show if you don't already. We really appreciate it. If you're listening on Spotify or watching on Spotify or anywhere else you get your favorite podcasts, please support the show through those channels as well. And we'll be back to talk about hopefully another Packers win. Go Pack, go.
Go Pack, go.